It began in healthy-looking pigs, months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died. Experts agree unless it is quickly controlled, it could lead to a severe pandemic, an outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere.
Busy, busy, busy. It's a busy time in the conspiracy world. If you've been following my show for long enough, you'll know that I do typically one show a week. And you'll notice that this last week, I've been cranking them out. Because there's so much to talk about and so many updates that I gotta keep up with you. I gotta keep up with it. The topics today, we're gonna run through some updates on previously reported stories. So here's the material you need to be up on. I did a show on the 2020 Grammys. I did a show on Kobe Bryant and his death. And then, you know, for bonus points, you could read my book on Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist called The Desert Enigma, now available on Amazon Audible, and also part of a compilation book where you can get all kinds of stuff in one book called Alice in Rocky Horror Land, again, Amazon Audible. We're also going to catch you up on the latest conspiracies around that coronavirus, straight from the Wuhan clan in China, which is what you heard at the beginning of the show. That clip, believe it or not, was from a simulation, an exercise studying this exact thing just a couple months ago. And you'll never believe who was behind that. And we're going to get to that. That'll be our last topic. Let's get into it. First, let's talk about the Grammys. Billie Eilish. You know she's Illuminate confirmed. I've talked about this ad nauseum. And now it seems it was revealed a video is floating around where she was mouthing the words, "Please don't be me," when they were announcing the winner of the Album of the Year award. She said, "Please don't be me." She didn't want it. She won 5 Grammys, which is the most that I don't want to go on record with the award, the clarifier of what that means. She's like one of the youngest people to win that many awards, though. Basically, it was a total of 5 Grammys, and she says, "Please don't let it be me," but she didn't seem, I don't know how cheeky it was. She didn't want to win, I would argue, because this is part of the package deal. And maybe the realization hit her. When you hear all these artists talk about selling their soul to get into the industry, we've got to give it a little bit of traction to be possible, right? For it to be reality that they are in fact doing this. So could it be that Billie Eilish is just one of many? I would argue it to be so. We will see as time reveals itself. Next, Kobe Bryant. Updates to the Kobe Bryant saga. And you recall this somber tone I had on the Kobe Bryant death show? Sorry, my phone's blowing up. Everything's been blowing up for the last 3 days. Instagram's on fire. Patreon's on fire. Twitter. Everything's blowing up. I appreciate all you guys see out there. Typically, I like to get a little more involved in the comment section and the DMs, and I've been completely unresponsive because things are getting too much for me at this point. And I'm doing a lot of research and I'm doing a lot of shows and I want to try to keep you informed. So my apologies to those of you that are waiting for responses, Patreon comments, messages on here, that, and the other. But and you know, I have that situation where I'll be on one social media and then it kind of blows up too big and it's too overwhelming and I'll move on to the next one. Instagram is the latest victim. It's starting to blow up now. And I say blow up, I mean, that might be an exaggeration, but like, you know, you get a couple thousand people and, you know, 10% of those ask you questions, that's 200 questions. Ain't nobody got time for that. No, but I'll peruse, I'll quickly kind of gloss over, and I try to respond to as many as I can, but many will definitely fall off the plate. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, Kobe Bryant, yes, the first show I did on him was talking about his death, and I wanted to be sensitive to it because, like many deaths before, I've thought, all right, is there some occult Illuminati involvement? Probably not. Is it just a tragedy and someone lost someone they love and we need to be sensitive to that? That's kind of like the angle I take on it. I'm a little less controversial than some. That's my inner beta cuck coming out. And now I'm starting to wonder if I was wrong. I'm starting to wonder if this Kobe Bryant thing wasn't a hit. There's lots of weird stuff going on, and I wanted to give you a quick update. First, Evan Rachel Wood, if you recall, she's an actress that was on Westworld, a show I did a full analysis on, went through every episode, and showed you how it is a Gnostic tale of an imprisoned simulation reality. It's a Luciferian tale where the actors, that would be analogous to the humans, are awoken, they're woke, by the Beelzebub fly, the Luciferian forces. So the main star of that, Evan Rachel Wood, she immediately tweeted how Kobe was a rapist, basically, after his death. After he died, she said, basically, don't forget that he was a rapist, too. And that, of course, brought a lot of heat upon her. And note that Evan Rachel Wood's also buddies with Marilyn Manson, so let's not forget that. Honorary priest in the Church of Satan. But yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Kobe rape thing, because I didn't cover that on the first episode, because as I told you, as I warned you, I might not be the guy to talk about this kind of stuff, because I don't follow sports. But that's right. He, in fact, I recall this being in the news. I had to get familiar with it, but it wasn't the first thing I thought of when I thought of Kobe Bryant, because I forgot about it so long ago, right? But yes, Kobe did in fact get accused of raping a woman back in 2003. And in fact, Evan Rachel Wood wasn't the only one to bring this up. A reporter over at the Washington Post tweeted about this, and she was placed on administrative leave. She had tweeted a link. She didn't even tweet that specific thing, calling him a rapist. She tweeted a link to an article about his rape charges. And, of course, the rape charges were dropped because the accuser settled out of court with Kobe Bryant. And he later apologized, saying that he, in fact, did not get her consent. And he was apologizing for it. But, hey, that's rape. That's the definition of rape. So he kind of admitted it to it in publicly, right? And I look at this two ways. On one hand, these jocks, sports, condones bad behavior. And they're no different than the entertainment industry in the sense that a person can be put on a pedestal and to feel like they're above the law or above human ethical morality. Man becoming God a little bit here, which is ultimately the problem with apotheosis and the occult concepts of man becoming God, is that I'd argue we are not capable of handling that level of power. So elevating these jocks as heroes, as role models, is a dangerous endeavor. On the other hand, the social justice warrior movement, the SJWs, they always take it too far. They've got good intentions, but man, do they take it too far. And maybe that's what happened here. You know, this guy died. He just died with his daughter in the freaking helicopter with him. And the first thing you want to talk about is shunning him for an accusation. But hey, you know what? Maybe I'm a little on board with SJWs, because Because people don't understand how rape works. And people wanted to defend Kobe and say, well, no, he's not a bad guy. Besides, what was this girl doing? She went to his hotel room late at night. What did she think was going to happen? And of course, those people are a little bit right in the sense that, yeah, that's probably what everyone involved thought was going to happen. When she goes to his room late at night, he's Kobe Bryant, very famous. Gets more ass than a toilet seat. And then this girl shows up. And maybe she wanted to have sex, right? He wanted it. She wanted it. They both thought that's how it was going down. And I'm just, and this is just me spitballing. This is my personal thoughts on the subject. So don't run with this. And this wasn't picked up from some source. But a person can back out of sex at any point in the interaction, okay? So when he says that he understands he was wrong because he didn't get consent, no, dude, that's rape, man. You can't do that. Even if everything points to it, even if he or she, nine times out of ten, it's a man raping a woman. I don't know if that's the right number either, but you know what I'm saying. Even if she is committed to doing it, says she wants to do it, she's doing it. If for some reason, any reason, she wants to back out of the transaction, she has that right to say, no, you know what, that's it, whatever, I'm done. And if the guy doesn't stop, that's rape. So a lot of people don't understand that, surprisingly, right? It's kind of surprising, but you'll hear that kind of commentary from people. Like, what if let me put myself in this position, okay? What if I got to meet Alyssa Milano, okay? And I know she's a libtard now, I get it. But let's say I got to meet my number one, Alyssa Milano. And I'm like, here we go, we're going to do this thing. I show up at her room late at night. She lets me in, we get to kissing. But then she's got tonsil stones and her breath's kicking. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't do this right now. And she's like, oh no, you're gonna do this right now. That would be rape. And plus, you gotta add in some other factors when you look at men versus women. And whether this is, you know, genetic, I doubt it, or if this is social programming. But women have a little more empathy towards other people than men do. And I'm talking in generalities, take it easy. So, like, this girl, this woman, was getting allegedly raped by Kobe, and guys say, well, if she didn't want it, she should have just walked out the door and left. Like, you'll hear that, right? I mean, maybe you don't hear it. Maybe that's locker room talk, but I've heard that many times. And the problem with that is that women, they've got this genuine fear of being killed, not just raped, but killed now, but also they have a little empathy and they don't want to embarrass the guy. So, like, there's this weird sort of line they walk. And I'm not saying every woman. And I'm not saying this can't happen the other way around. I'm speaking in generalities. And what I'm trying to say here is, Kobe Bryant raped that woman. No, I don't know. They never came to a full conclusion, right? If you read through the version of events and the elements that took place, it seems very possible, in my opinion, my non-expert amateur opinion, that Kobe, in fact, probably raped her. Because at first he denied them having sex, then he admitted to having sex. Then he denied ejaculating. Then he said, yeah, that happened. And then he was asking the cops what he could do to keep this quiet. I'm assuming bribery, hush money a little bit. Then he admits it and says, yeah, but it was totally consensual. Which, like, indicates guilt a little bit, right? Why would you say that right off the bat? And then, like, if you read through the reports, he said, well, I ejaculated into a t-shirt, not the woman. And the detectives went to the room and said, well, show us the shirt. And he grabbed the shirt that he allegedly did that in and threw it at the detective. And then he said he should do what Shaq does, pay off these girls to keep them quiet. I mean, this guy sounds insane, right? And the sexual assault nurse examiner's office confirmed that the penetration, in fact, happened forcefully, not consensual. And she had bruises and there was blood on his shirt and so on. And I'm not trying to paint this gory picture, but what I am going to say in conclusion is that there were some strong indicators that he was abusing his position. And that's the danger of man gaining too much power. And some of these occultists want man to become godlike. And I'd argue that's very dangerous. Power corrupts, absolutely, right? One more update for Kobe. He's not off the hook yet. Paulo Coelho, the guy who wrote The Alchemist, he came out yesterday and confirmed that he was writing a book with Kobe Bryant. And he said he was going to throw it in the garbage. And at this point, and at this time, there was no details about what this book was about. And you know Paulo Coelho, he was on the Kobe Bryant show. And this is what I found odd about the whole thing. I talked about Coelho on Sunday because LeBron James was tweeting out about The Alchemist and Paulo Coelho's personal legend with Santiago. This whole, you know, basically the book, okay? And, of course, LeBron James gets tied into this because he passed up Kobe Bryant's scoring record the day before Kobe died. And I was just saying, look, Coelho, like, if we want to look at this from an occult perspective, Coelho's tied into a lot of these themes because he was an acolyte of Crowley. Well, follower of Crowley's teachings, I should say. That's a more accurate term. And the book echoes Do What Thou Wilt, Finding One's True Will. That's an Aleister Crowley term. He invented that. So, in fact, it is a component of the Aeon of Horus, the New Age. Believe it or not. And also, Kobe Bryant did a little more research, said that The Alchemist is his favorite book. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a very good book. But he actually recommended it to another player that goes by the name of Kyrie Irving. And if you recall, Kyrie Irving has appeared on my subject matter a couple times because of his shoes and all of his Illuminati symbolism. And he talks about how he's in this hermetic order, which is, I mean, this is all ritual, magic, occult stuff. All of the symbolism he's got on all of his Instagram and the shoes. So these guys are all running in the same circle, it turns out. Now, how does that connect to them blowing up the helicopter? I don't know. But there are some weird things with the helicopter. We just found out that Kobe and his wife had this pact not to travel together on the helicopter. Like, they knew at some point it was going to go down. Why would you do that? Isn't that a little odd? If you were that convinced that that was an outcome, I don't know why you'd keep doing it. I mean, he said it was because of the traffic in LA. I mean, maybe, right? I don't know what that's like. But I got to think, getting to the airport, getting dropped off the runway, gassing up the chopper, then landing it somewhere. I mean, maybe. He's got $1 bazillion. Maybe it wasn't that bad. But that was an odd thing, right? No smoking gun, though. I'm going to say that again. Not a smoking gun, just odd. Another oddity. Someone shared this with me on the Instagram. I don't know if they want me to share their name. I'll keep it anonymous. Nike and Sikorsky, which Sikorsky of Korsky made the helicopter. And they both had apparently tweeted the last time Kobe flew in the helicopter to his final game. They both made a big event tweeting him with the helicopter. Okay? And they're talking about how this is the last time flying in it, implying it's to the last game. And this was, of course, a few years ago. But after his death, they've deleted these tweets, these photos. Why would they do that? It was, in fact, of course, the exact same helicopter in the photos was the one that crashed. But why delete them? Why delete the photos? Again, not a smoking gun, but very odd. Speaking of rapists, let's talk about Epstein. Oh, man, this guy never... He's dead, but not gone. He might not even be dead. Turns out three art students revealed how they were invited to attend these parties at the Zorro Ranch down in New Mexico, and there was all kinds of weird stuff happening. They were invited because it was some, you know, special privilege from the school they were attending. And they said that while they were down there, they saw all this weird stuff, like a skeleton, which was probably real, I'm sure. And they said that Epstein was building an old Western town out there on this ranch. And if you combine that idea with his whole weird transhuman DNA thing that he wanted to do down at Zorro Ranch, he wanted to implant his DNA so he lived forever through these other Scarlet Women, the Babylons. His Crowley Scarlet Women. It could be like a little Westworld thing going on down there. But the one student, to sum this up, said, "It was the weirdest dinner party I've ever been to all my life." And the article details all these different weird things they had to do about, like, playing with sex toys. And they said that it felt like it wasn't necessarily having fun. It was more of seeing how far they would go. And we all know what the ideas are here. How far they did want to go. Now, speaking of Epstein, let's talk about his boy, Bill Gates. Yes, indeed. Billy Gates, of course, friends with Jeffrey Epstein, but denies knowing of any of the widely known allegations and convictions of this guy. Everybody, including me, just some idiot at home, knew that this dude was a child rapist. And everyone who was buddies with him wants to pretend like, "Well, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, come on. Give me a break." But anyway, we're going to talk about the coronavirus because Bill Gates is part of this. My man, Billy Ray Valentine, sent me a link to the weirdest thing ever. It's called Event 201. Have you seen this? Have you seen the Event 201? Well, it was conducted October 18th, 2019. I'm going to read you a little bit about this Event 201. It was a scenario, an exercise to simulate an outbreak of a novel coronavirus, which just so happens to be what we're facing right now with the Wu-Tang Clan China novel coronavirus. Novel, of course, meaning new, meaning there's no data on this thing historically. But anyways, Event 201 simulates an outbreak of a novel coronavirus transmitted from bats to pigs to people. It jumps the chain, right? And then goes from person to person, leading to severe pandemic. The pathogen and the disease it causes are modeled largely on SARS, but is more transmissible in the community by people with mild symptoms. The disease starts in pig farms in Brazil, quietly and slowly, then spreads the more rapidly in the healthcare settings. Blah, 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 blah. It is first exported by air travel to Portugal, the United States, and China, and then to many other countries. Although at first some countries are able to control it, continues to spread and be reintroduced, and no country can maintain control. There is no possibility of a vaccine being available in the first year. There is a fictional antiviral drug that can help the sick, but not spread the disease. Since the whole human population is susceptible during the initial months, the number of cases increases exponentially, doubling every week. And as cases and deaths accumulate, the economic and societal consequences become increasingly severe. Now, here's where it gets scary. Here's where you might be a little scared. The scenario ends at the 18-month point with 65 million deaths. the pandemic is beginning to slow due to the decreasing number of susceptible people. The pandemic continues at some rate until there is an effective vaccine or 80 to 90% of the global population has been exposed. Now, why is that scary? Because 65 million people died in their simulation of a coronavirus, of a novel coronavirus that jumped from animals to humans, just like this new one. That's pretty scary, right? What's also scary is it just so happens that that event 201 was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They, of course, Bill and Melinda Gates run that foundation with Warren Buffett. It is the largest private foundation in the entire world. And you know the Gates are really into their vaccines, right? And right or wrong, you know, like, and this is where things get funky for me, where I get conflicted. I believe that, and you've heard me talk bad about science many times, and I will continue to do so. I don't think science is wrong. I don't think science is lying. I think the results and the interpretations allow people to be manipulated. It's like any study that you read, like example, when you talk about toothpaste and they say 9 out of 10 dentists prefer it, well, they actually polled 100 dentists and only 9 out of the 100 approved it. So they just took a small slice and that slice was 9 out of 10. What I'm saying is it's very easily manipulated. So you got to kind of know what you're looking at. You can't just take these people's words for granted is what I'm saying. Do vaccinations work? I think so. Do vaccinations bring about problems in some people that have some kind of weird genetic switch thing that happens? Absolutely. The CDC website will tell you all about them. Horrific things. Horrific. The vaccinations, the argument is that it's for the greater good. But man, if I had a kid and I had to take him to get the vaccines, I would be very conflicted. You're basically putting your kid in the lottery. Like, it's like a reverse lottery, okay? Like, the chances are they're probably going to be fine, but maybe not. And that's my thought on the vaccinations. We got rid of polio, essentially. And people want to argue, well, you know, if the vaccinations work so good, why does anyone care if my kid gets it? If their kids are vaccinated, what do they care? My kid doesn't need it. Well, it's because of that herd immunity stuff, which I've read that there's some conspiracies against this line of thought as well. But the idea is that some kids are not able to get these vaccinations because they have known problems. So if everyone else gets it, then that kid will be all right because it'll keep the disease down. And I argued in my first book about this topic, and I said, I think that the elitists don't put their kids through the vaccines. Instead, they sell that everyone else needs to do it because they know the dangers. I would argue that point. Now, back to the Wu-Tang coronavirus here. My man Hot Rod sent me some stuff. My man Hot Rod's scaring the crap out of me here. But the Wu-Tang Clan virus in China, there was a BSL-4 lab out there, and it handles the deadliest viruses. If you're a conspiracy person, you've probably seen the memes floating around that the Resident Evil umbrella logo was the same logo on this lab. I could not verify that. Might be true, might not. I couldn't verify it, thus I'm not running with it. Trying to be very accurate. Not interested in scare tactics here. But SARS had already broken out from this same kind of lab 2 times in China. So let's give them another lab. So we built another lab, or they did at least. I believe the French helped pay for it, if you want to blame some people. But the Chinese were like, well, you know, because people were like, well, wait a minute. So you're going to handle like the deadliest viruses known to man in this thing and try to play with them to see what you could do with them? Including they were messing with stuff to purposefully try to get a disease to jump from animal to human, knowing that if it got out, it would be catastrophic. And in America, they pass laws that they don't allow for that kind of testing. Because it's like these scientists are just like dreaming up dream fantasies of like, well, what if we did that? And like, just to answer questions because they're curious. And like I said before, these nerds are going to kill us all. And I hope I'm not right. Especially not with the Wu-Tang virus here. But the Chinese said, well, you know, we'll be careful this time. We've got a policy now on these. We're going to have open honesty. Everyone, if someone makes a mistake, they're going to report it. We're going to have a culture of honesty and transparency. This from the country that censors everything and throws your second baby in the ocean or whatever it is they do. They're going to, all of a sudden, they're going to be totally cool with open transparency. Right. And that's the argument here with the coronavirus is that they claim, the argument is that the Chinese are lying about how many people this has infected. Because if you look at the containment efforts, I mean, they've quarantined millions and millions of people over there. The response is out of proportion to the numbers provided. They evacuated the U.S. embassy over in China. They didn't do that with SARS. So there you have it. Those are the updates. I wanted to get those out to you real quick. I know the show schedule's been nuts lately. Things have been nuts. And then the Super Bowl is this weekend. You know, that's a big to-do for me every year. So stay subscribed. I'm going to have a show on the Super Bowl. And look, Patreon people, Patreon supporters, I love you all. I love you all. And if you haven't signed up, please do. So patreon.com/Illuminati Watcher is how you support the show. I've got shows for the Patreon. Exclusive bonuses coming out. I got an Isaac Cappy show. It's going to have tons of info. It's going to be only on the Patreon feed. And then I'm going to have a breakdown of the film Arrival about the aliens. I'm going to discuss its Kabbalistic connections. Again, Patreon only. Because I aim for 4 or 5 shows a month, and I try to give the Patreon folks at least 1, maybe 2 freebies a month. That's all, or I say freebies, 1 or 2 that are strictly for the Patreon people, you know, because they go above and beyond to help support this show. So I got to give them something extra. And I'm going to drop those episodes. I promise you they're coming soon. I got to put the final editing touches on them. The problem is, we've got Wu-Tang coronaviruses and Kobe Bryant's and Epstein rearing his ugly dead head again. And then we got the sports ball Super Bowl halftime show coming up. Things are busy. Things are on fire. But thank you for your support. Thanks for listening to the show. If you want to follow me, I got all the social media links in the show notes. Join the fire. There's a herd, a community building on the social medias. Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, Twitter at Illuminati Eyes, Facebook Isaac Weishaupt or Illuminati Watcher. Pick your poison. And until next time, stay woke.